Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper. I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're about to experience the wild game domain from the hunt to the hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. I am joined by my co-host, Michael Schwartz, the muscle and the brains behind Bao Food and Drink, a beautiful, wonderful, politically correct company, or I don't know if you're politically correct. No, you're probably not, knowing you. Out of Long Island City, man. If you haven't checked out his product, I'm not giving him a free plug here, but I guess I am in some ways. Because I really love his product, and my wife wouldn't let me invest. Nice move, Jennifer. The guy's got money falling out of his pocket now. His limo couldn't find parking on his way to the show today, and all he wanted was a stinking 10 grand.
Smart move, Jennifer.
Yeah, nice move, Jennifer. Let's just live in...
Keep your money in your pocket, yeah. Jennifer.
No,
don't listen to your husband.
She knows that already. She's like, oh, yeah. All right, so today we're going to discuss the slaughter of these beautiful indigenous creatures to Australia, the kangaroo. And it's, you know, lately we've been talking about all these animals that are romanticized on... in social media, in media in general, you know, Disney, the swan, and kangaroos and cartoons, right? Wasn't
Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh? Wasn't he a bear?
He was a bear, but there's a Kanga.
Oh, Kanga. Yeah. Nice point. Kanga. Remember Kanga? He was fun. He was a little stupid. No, she was very responsible. She took care of the little one, right?
Right.
In the pouch, the whole thing. Well, apparently in Australia, man, they're big business, these kangaroos. So this came up on the radar for me because, first of all, Hunter, you know, I try to stay in the loop as far as what's going on around the world. And, you know, obviously I've never even been to Australia, never mind hunted a kangaroo or even thought about it. But some of this stuff started popping up on Twitter. I guess I follow some people down in Australia, hunters, and apparently the Aboriginal elders of Australia, an alliance of Aboriginal elders, announced their intention to bring a constitutional law challenge against Australia's kangaroo industry. And I said, first of all, it said constitutional, so I'm like, all right, I got to get all over this, man. Love the Constitution, even Australia's Constitution, within reason, even though they're not even allowed to own a pump-action shotgun, you morons. But, and they started as a prison colony. You'd think it'd be a free-for-all.
Well, then maybe there's a reason that they shouldn't have guns.
Well, apparently they had one mass shooting, so what's the answer? You know, take away all the guns from the people. But that's not today's show. Don't get me started on that. So apparently there is something called the Australia's kangaroo industry. And I started thinking, holy crap, who knew? You know, first of all, I've never had kangaroo, never even seen it offered. And I've had some exotic meats, right? We have some outlets here for that. So I started investigating it. And apparently the numbers of kangaroo out in the wild in Australia is ridiculous. There's actually more kangaroos than people in Australia. Did you know that? They could take over if they wanted, if they could get their shit together.
If they could get their hands on some
guns.
Yeah,
they could have their own island, man. And we're taking the guns away from the people. Luckily,
and giving them to the kangaroos.
Yeah, kangaroos are of, you know, minimal intelligence, luckily.
How's their trigger finger?
I don't... Do they even have fingers? I know they could probably work some of it. They stand upright almost, you know, so you would think. But apparently they're pretty ferocious. But there's something they estimate, and they don't have a solid number, but between 20 and 40 million or 50 million kangaroos on that island, which is, we all know, a pretty big island. But that's a big number of any kind of animal, right? So I was shocked. So, you know, it makes sense that they're actually culling this herd and eating them, which, you know, the wild game domain stands for, man. If you're going to kill it, eat it. I'm fine with it. But when you dig deeper into this, it becomes this political tug of war. And I think what the Aboriginal Australians, is that proper?
Sounds right.
Yeah. I think what they're fighting for is their cut of the pie. I think they've been cut out of the loop. I think the white man has come in and is taking over this industry. And they're like, not so much against it as they are like, where's our cut, man? We were here first. We have been eating these things and hunting them under a special permit process in Australia that they're actually the only ones who go out and outside of commercial hunting, go out there and hunt these things for their own use. And they use the skins, they use the whole thing. You know, it's a pretty amazing undertaking. And so I think, you know, from what I could, you know, reading in between the lines and the amount of in the research I've done this week, I think what they're trying to get at is, hey, we're okay with it, you know, but you got to cut us in on it. So that's today's show, just to talk about kangaroo hunting in general and what a riot it must completely be to go out and hunt these things. And then, you know, talk a little bit about the Australian government's response to this in the fact that, A, they want to expand the industry and hopefully it comes to the United States of America.
We don't have any kangaroos.
No, because there's no real farming system. Yeah, we should. We should, but that, let's talk about that later. Why don't we import a few? If we're getting rid of the mute swans, don't we have room for some kangaroos hopping around the parks now?
I thought kangaroos were like deer. They're just in the way.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I always looked at them. But, you know, I think the romance of them, again, even in Australia, because they do carry their young in a pouch. How can you kill something that carries their young in a pouch? I don't know what other animals do that. There's a couple, right? Marsupials,
yeah. So, possums.
Possums?
Do you go possum hunting?
I don't. I've thought about killing one by my tree stand. I have a tree stand out on Long Island. There must be a possum den. I see them every morning. And whenever I see them, I don't see deer. So I think the deer are spooked by their noise. I don't think a deer is afraid of a possum.
If Erica Wides is listening, I think we're going to get a call because I don't think possums carry their young in a pouch.
I know. Well, I'll get a snippy email later from her. You moron. You shouldn't even have a show.
Both
you're
of you
so
guys.
Stupid.
And get
you
back got, in the kitchen.
Right. And we're going to
make some buttercream.
Right. Which we got to talk about a joint show with Jack, our producer, because Erica has mentioned doing a joint show with us, which might be a lot of fun. All right. So why should these elders, these Aboriginal elders,
hey,
oppose
I
the
just say possums do carry the young in the pouch.
All right. We
See?
Were right.
Yep.
Yeah. We got something right. So why should they oppose the kangaroo industry and obviously the export of kangaroo meat? I mean, they got millions of them. And they have been eating them for thousands of years, literally thousands of years. So the introduction of cattle and sheep to Australia have been a big problem for the Aboriginal
people. For the kangaroo industry.
Yeah, in general, because they're destroying the damage to the landscape, you know, the things these marsupials eat. So, you know, they're, I think, just working to get a piece of the pie. Their worry is, and here's the quote from the Aboriginal Council, "We have harvested animals for thousands of years, but we have only taken what was needed. We are not into the mass slaughter of these beautiful animals." Okay, and that's fine, but if it's getting to the point where you have, you know, more kangaroos than people, you know, I don't know which side of the fence I'm going to fall on here. My thing would be, why can't the average Australian go out and shoot them? If we're allowing the Aboriginals to go out and hunt them, and there's that many of them, you know, why can't they go ahead and go out and hunt them? But here's where it all boils down to. So Australia has, this industry has contacted China and Russia.
So they're trying to find a place to sell the meat.
Yeah, they want to get this meat out and smart. Go to China, yeah. Go to Russia, big countries, a lot of meat consumption, right? Let's get it over there.
Chinese don't go to watch Disney.
No, they don't even have Disney. Not allowed. And I agree with them on that. That's the one thing I agree with the Chinese government on.
No, Disney.
I'm sick of Disney. Sick of it. It's bad for the kids. It's bad for everything.
It's bad for hunting.
How come the in every Disney movie, right, the mother's evil and the father's dead, right? I mean, I get the evil part because my wife, you know, I understand that. There's fact in that, you know, in that character. But why is the father always got to be freaking dead in every one of these? And if he's not dead, he's fat and dopey, you know, and he's just this happy-go-lucky, oh, I don't care what you do, princess, you know? So I'm against Disney, yeah. Unless they want to sponsor my show, and come on, then I'm okay with it, actually. So notice the United States of America is not on this list, Mike Schwartz, and can you tell me why? Why not even bother?
Because Americans aren't going to eat kangaroo because of Disney.
Well, that. But also, you can't commercialize or sell wild game. And this is truly wild game in the sense that it's not farm raised. They are going out with professional hunters, killing these things in the wild, manufacturing the meat, and sending it hopefully to Russia. It's on the shelves in Australia, to China. I would love to be part of this, but our stupid government won't allow it.
I didn't realize that's across the country. You can't sell wild game. I thought it was just in New York.
No, it's across the country.
Really?
It was a federal initiative, and it actually saved the wildlife populations here in the United States. We were dwindling, man. We were down to just about nothing, you know, in the going into the 1800s, you know, early 1900s, we were in big trouble. We weren't going to have anything. Teddy Roosevelt, man, decided, all right, we got to protect these animals. No more commercial hunting of wild game. And it saved the industry.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I did a show on it in season one, if you want to go back and listen to that. But I'm not calling you out.
I'm seeing there's a restaurant here called the Thirsty Koala, though, that serves kangaroo steaks in Astoria.
See, what the hell? See? All right, Jack, mind your business. Are you trying to embarrass me?
All right.
No. What are you kidding? That's awesome.
Let's go there after
Who
the show.
Who knew? Yeah, we should go there. And we got to call them and find out how the hell they're doing it. If these things... Because let me read something to you. Currently, most kangaroo meat is sourced from wild animals as a byproduct of population controls. So they're using this ruse of population control. Or maybe it is true. And then they're going out slaughtering or killing or harvesting, whatever side of the argument you're on, these animals. And both the meat and the hides are then sold. Although most species of a macropod are protected from hunting by law, a small number of the large size species, which exist in high numbers, can be hunted by commercial hunters. This policy has been criticized by animal rights activists, of course, you morons. I'm sure PETA is all over it. On the other hand, the kangaroo harvest is supported by a wide range of professional scientists in Australia, ecologists, conservation groups, and I have a laundry list of names of respected scientists and activists who support the culling of this animal and then the use of the meat itself. So I don't know really where I stand. I know, where I stand on the importation of it. Obviously, these guys are getting kangaroo meat somewhere if they're serving it in Queens. The truth of the matter is they're probably farming it here, right? That's probably farm-raised kangaroo, good old United States. And I bet you, and I don't want to call them out because I'm going to contact them after the show and get them on as a guest, but I bet you it's not the same, you know. At a minimum, it's like farm-raised venison versus the wild stuff I'm taking. The wild stuff, to me, has a completely different flavor and textural profile.
Sure, because it's eating a wild diet.
Simple enough, right? And when I do the wild game domain class at the school, and I asked for two venison loins. That's all I needed, right? And I was thinking wild venison loins. I had never purchased. I'm embarrassed to say, I've been in the industry a long time. I had never purchased commercial venison. D'Artagnan sent me something that looked like it came from a 500-pound deer, right?
Yep.
And it was frightening to me because this was a trophy deer that they took this thing from. And it was marbleized, and it actually had fat on it. And it wasn't venison, as I recognized it.
Right.
I actually cut down that loin into at least 6 average-sized loins that you would get from a wild deer. You know, so it was pretty. It was an eye opener for me.
And it was probably fed corn.
I'm sure, right? Yeah. What else would be more effective than putting on the weight, right?
Absolutely.
Than feeding it corn, which we have a problem with, depending, right?
Not depending.
Not depending. We're against it.
We're against
completely.
It.
Completely. Even if it's real corn, just fatten them up at the end a little bit.
Even if it's real corn just at the end, okay.
Because I could see a lot of venison farmers maybe doing that, doing it the right way.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's a topic for another show. Actually, it is now 16 minutes past, and we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Chad Pagano, and I am joined by my co-host, Mike Schwartz, of Bow Food and Drink. All right, so we're talking about this. excuse me, I'm still getting over my cold. The idea of cultivating, harvesting, hunting kangaroo.
You know, that break commercial got me thinking about kangaroo ham.
Kangaroo ham.
Imagine that.
Mike Schwartz?
Sounds good. I'm sorry, I didn't have my things all the way on, so I didn't hear that part. I could only hear you.
Jack was mentioning he's thinking about having a kangaroo ham sandwich.
That sounds great.
So first of all, there is no name. Thank you, Jack, for jumping in here. We appreciate it because I was trying to research. We call deer, as an example, their meat is venison.
Right.
The meat from a pig is pork. Cows produce beef for us, right?
Actually, steers produce beef, but yeah.
Thank you. Steers.
And chickens.
Chickens, chicken. So I guess kangaroo is kangaroo.
Kangaroo, right?
But maybe they want to come up with a new name to market it.
Definitely.
You know, and then stupid people won't know where it came from, you know? And you always, Mike, you're a businessman.
That's right. It's all in the branding.
Yeah, branding, and you always want to appeal to stupid people because right. They spend a lot of money.
Stupid people spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
They had a competition, apparently, in Australis. Is what they went with.
Oh, that's fancy.
That's
a little fancy.
That's a long word.
One of the other choices was Skippy.
We could call them Aussies, but then people might think it's the people.
Well, listen, I'm glad we're jumping in here. A little collective, Jack. Guess what they call kangaroo hunters in Australia? Anybody? Uh-huh. Any guess? Kanga bangers. Yeah, because they bang them. And some of the hunting apparently has been compared to like... You know, getting those cute little seals up north or down south, wherever they do that, and kind of bashing their heads in, which I don't support in any way. But apparently some of these hunters, the commercial hunters, trap the kangaroos so they don't damage any of the meat. The caliber used to hunt these are basically the same calibers we use on deer here. So they use, you know, anything from like a 243, which would be a relatively... large cartridge, you know, the beginning of what we call a large bullet, you know, up to there. And I'll show you to have something called the 303, which is in common use there. It'd be like, for you guys out there who know about hunting and firearms, what we call the 30-yard six here. It's a standard round, and it's big, and it's fast, and it does a lot of damage, and it goes...
It tears up the ham.
Yeah, so it could tear up Jack's ham at the end of the day. And I would imagine we're not shooting them in the ham. You know, we're going a little higher than that for the kill zone. You know, basically a kangaroo, we were just talking during the break, is if you Google it, but they look like deer, you know, on their hind legs. You know, they have a little, obviously their legs are strong from all that hopping and moving around. So I guess the hams
would be huge and good
sense,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about that. So, you know, what is the makeup of this? First of all, kangaroo, it's historically a staple of protein for the indigenous Australians. It's high in protein, low in fat, about 2%. Which you would expect from any wild game, right? Mm-hmm. High concentration of something, and maybe you could help me out, CLAs? A CLA, high concentrations of an acid, CLA. I'm sure that's an abbreviation for some
conjugated linoleic acid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, Jack. Look at Jack, man. Jack, I'm going to have you on as a guest.
He's got Google in there.
No, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's trying to point out. He's like, hey, jackass, why don't you do some research before you come in here and do a show? I get it. He's being subtle, and I respect that. So apparently this CLA, as dumb people call it, Jack, has been attributed to a wide range of benefits, health benefits. Anti-diabetes properties, reducing obesity.
I bet you would find that in venison as well, any wild game.
In any wild game. Yeah. Kangaroo meat is stronger in flavor than the meat from commercially raised food farms, which wouldn't be...
We already know that.
Wouldn't be untrue of any wild game.
Exactly.
It is considered to be very tender. It could be minced or ground. Kangaroo meat may be substituted in dishes where minced beef would normally be used. I mean, to me, that was something I just came across on one of the websites I was researching. Again, it just sounds like wild game. You know, you're always safe grinding any part of a wild animal. You know, I mean, for deer, if I'm unsure and, you know, I go to a butcher and he's like, well, how do you want? I'm like, grind the whole freaking thing up. I don't even care. Throw the loin in there. Do everything.
Salami.
Yeah. And then you have these more advanced preparations. You could always make salami, things like that. Sausages, great meatballs, meatloaf. So, you know, I got to put some kangaroo meatloaf on the table here. There's no way around that. Apparently also, and just as an interesting, I guess, sidebar, there is a term for people who eat a lot of kangaroos. Apparently, there are people called, or they practice kangatarianism.
Kangatarians.
Yeah, where just eat. And so, you know what I'm thinking, Jack? A line of Wild Game Domain t-shirts with maybe like a dead kangaroo on it, and it says, you know, I'm a kangatarian.
Kangatarian.
Right?
Let's start the movement.
The movement here in Brooklyn, yeah. And then we could sell it at Roberta's.
Brooklyn Kangatarians. We can get some, make some kanga prosciutto, put on the pizzas.
Right. So it's apparently something new, and it's a diet which excludes meat except for kangaroo. And their reasoning is it's environmentally sound. There's plenty of it out there. Renewable. So I'm all about this. You know, it's a renewable food source. And ethical grounds. I don't know exactly where the ethical grounds come in, but apparently you could research, you know, numerous Australian newspapers have talked about this movement and people in Australia who are basically finding that they have this food source. Why not make it their only meat they consume? And I'm all for that because, you know, it's a renewable, like I said, a renewable food source. Apparently, prior to kangatarianism gaining traction in that wonderful island of Australia, I am made for friggin' Australia. I should be there. I'm so aggravated. You know, I should be eating kangaroo. I should be hanging out at some dive bar on the edge of the Badlands, preparing to go out and kill wild animals. I mean, and drink Foster's or some nice Australian.
A nice Australian beer.
A nice Australian beer. And just, you know, get my game on in Australia. I can make it's still a country where I feel like you can make your way as an outdoorsman.
But you can't have guns, you said?
No. Good point, Jack. Ugh.
You're going to have to trap and club.
Why don't you just wreck my whole day, Jack?
What about, can you have bow and arrow?
I'm sure, but that's not as fun as shooting a semi-automatic assault rifle, as our governor calls them, which I wouldn't do, governor, because they're now illegal, and I have gotten rid of all of my assault rifles, just so you know, so there's nothing to register. Don't come knocking on my door. We're all cool. I followed the law. I'm trying to fight you on this law, on the up and up, right? I'm supporting the all the organizations suing you. And what? 98% of the counties who have basically called you a moron over this unenforceable law you created. That is not making us safer, fact. But that's not today's show. Yeah, apparently Australia. But you know what I suspect, Jack, down in Australia? No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about the major cities there, and I've always respected the city's right to restrict gun ownership. You people want to live in the confines of this great city of ours in apartment building. You can't have people running around with guns. I get it. There's got to be stricter, you know, restrictions. There's got to be restrictions put on it. And I've always supported that in some ways. You know, I'm okay with areas based on population and density and, you know, all the things that go into living into a city saying, hey, we got to have special rules for gun ownership. I support that. What I don't support is these blanket restrictions. You know, listen, it just doesn't work, right? Gun restrictions, they don't work. You could sit there and smirk. They don't.
No, I'm not smirking. Who's smirking?
You were smirking a little bit. Well, but, listen. There's a city apparently out in the Midwest called Chicago. Yeah? And apparently they have a big problem with everyone getting shot. If you go there, you're probably going to get shot, from what I understand. You know, it's just crazy. And they have the most restrictive gun laws in the world. So it doesn't work. End of story. But getting back to that. So we have these Kangaroos. All right. But it actually came from camel terriers. Apparently, there are feral camels living in Australia. And for hundreds, if not thousands of years, people have been eating these feral camels. And they call themselves camel terriers in Australia. And so the kangaroo terriers have decided, we're just going to file suit. If you could be a camel-tarian, I could be a goddamn kangaroo-tarian. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, who's going to argue with someone living a more natural life, eating organic food sources, and hopefully killing these things humanely? If they're doing it humanely, with a minimal amount of suffering to the animal, okay, I'm all for it, man. Knock them down and eat them. I'm all about that. So I don't know. We got to get out. What's the name of that restaurant, Jack, in Queens?
Oh, I got to look it up again.
If you don't mind. Thank you. We're gonna do a field trip out there. I'm going to contact the chef, and we're going to get him on here.
Can we take the show on the road?
Jack has always mentioned
yeah.
that we are encouraged.
Maybe we should do
really
that next.
It's called the Thirsty Koala.
The Thirsty Koala.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then there's another one in New York City I'm looking up right now. It's the, let's see, 8 Mile Creek in Soho.
I wonder if they sell Bao products for Bao hot sauce to put on their kanga steaks.
Ooh, that would be good, right? Yeah. That's a match made in heaven, mm-hmm. man. Nice kangaroo
steak.
Maybe we
have to hit them up next week.
Yeah, and some of that raw slaw on the side. Nice Australian beer. We're living, man. That's the life. So, listen, let's be honest here. Let's wrap this up. This is the Wild Game Domain. We are going to encourage, support any kind of hunting. I don't care. As long as they're not endangered species, which we've already determined that there are more of these kangaroos than people in Australia. Apparently, there's only 20 million people in Australia. I don't know if that's true. I'm sure Jack's fact-checking me right now, but it's about 20 million people. So
there's one kangaroo for every four people.
I mean, use it. Right? I don't know about the birth rates of these animals, but if they're anything similar to deer, there's plenty of them coming back each year. So harvest them, eat them. Australia, I'm with you. And getting to the gun things in Australia, I just think it's something like the Australian government was like, you know, you can't have guns anymore. And everyone was like, oh, okay. And then nothing happened. You know, like, what are they going to do? If you live outside of Sydney, you know, I'm sure the guy's got an arsenal of every weapon he needs to survive and take care of what he's got to take care of. I'm sure Australian gun owners are similar to American gun owners.
I got to tell you, you're right here. We got 22 million Australians, 34 million kangaroos.
And wow. See, now, I like that you came up with that number. That 34 million, it sounds like you're looking at an average or a guess, because the numbers I saw were minimum of 20 million kangaroos, a maximum of 50 million.
Oh, man.
And so that 30
I thought you
million
said 5
falls,
million before. Wow.
No, no.
Nice.
They outnumber the people. So that is a renewable food source that the Australians have a right to harvest, as
should
far
be
as
the
I'm
next
concerned.
Campaign promise for the Australian president, a kangaroo in every pot.
I think, yeah, man. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And they have a prime minister, by the way, dumbass. You don't even know about the Australian government. Jack, school him on Australian government structure, please.
That'll be next show.
The prime minister. And the prime minister doesn't have anything because he's still looking for that plane down there that didn't crash, by the way, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't want to make light of it. But, you know.
Who has it?
It's on. It landed. You can't find a sea cover? Come on. I know it's a big ocean. I know. That's the big argument. It's a big ocean. Yeah, well, we have satellites. We have boats. They have planes. There are actually 10 boats and 10 planes circling the area looking for this thing, and we can't find. Every time they're like, we got satellite pictures of 300 pieces of debris. And then they go find one. They're like, oh, no, it's from an Australian fishing vessel. Sorry. It's the world's, they call it the washing machine down there. Everything drifts down there. It's a big garbage dump, apparently, the Indian Ocean. Everything, all this debris drifts down to the Indian Ocean. The plane didn't crash. There's no way we wouldn't know where it crashed. I ain't buying it. But that's a different show. Anything else, Mike?
I'm good.
All right. That's all the time we have. I'd like to thank Jack.
Kangaroo Jack.
Oh my God! You're coming with me to Australia, Jack. We need you, man. Jack's got like the beard going on too. Like we go in there, they won't even question us. We just show up. And but Jack did a great job today, as usual. We're so glad to have Jack back. Can I give Jack some?
Oh, thanks, man.
No offense to Joe or anybody else. Joe, good luck, man, and all those guys did a great job. But Jack's the man. He's on top of the game. So thank you, Jack, for producing and engineering today's show. You could always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org. And apparently I'm on iTunes as a podcast. You could check out my website. Check us out on Facebook. Do a Google search. I'm on Twitter. I'm trying to get out there socially. Come on. If you agree with me, jump aboard. If you don't agree with me, jump aboard. Let's hear what you're talking about. Also, I just want to say, well, we got a second here. You could call the... call the program anytime. Our lines are always open. You got to filter through Kangaroo Jack in there in the little booth. And the phone number is 718-497-2128. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.